Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the first ever episode of Brown Game Strong. To kick off the series, today we'll be discussing all things related to body positivity. In recent years, there have been more open discussions around the topic of body image and self-acceptance, and so we just kind of wanted to add our own flavour to it.
When Asha and I were kind of thinking about the sort of topics we'd want to talk about, we wanted to make sure that anything we talk about is real. It's actually like sharing our own experiences, especially as, you know, South Asian women, what the expectations are of us. And particularly with body positivity, there's such a movement happening at the moment. So many people are opening up about it. There's a lot of people both in the public eye and also day to day that are so much more conscious about just being more accepting towards different body shapes and sizes.
Totally agree. I think that a conversation has been started. I know growing up, it was very much like, you know, in the way we looked at ourselves. I never really looked at myself in a way where I was like, oh, I have to look a certain way or this, that, and the other. I remember being very conscious of like my big bushy brows. God, that could have ended really differently. My bushy brows and like my hairy arms and things like that. But it was never anything to do with like weight or whatever. Maybe it was just oblivious. But I think as time has gone on, people have just become so much less tolerant. And I think also the fact that we have a platform to discuss all of this on, like, it's nice to see other people on social media being like, oh, brow problems, or like, oh, like just things that you can relate to with each other. So I think a conversation has been started. It's just almost like unraveling all these different kind of expectations of us women, especially being brown.
Yeah,
I think there's so many expectations. Like, we have the expectations that our culture puts on us, so, you know, this whole like physically and otherwise as well. So, you know, you have to look a certain way, be fair, you know, your hair should be a certain way, you should be a certain build, oh, don't you make, you know, make sure you're not too like curvy, because oh, no one want to marry you. If you're too dark, no one will want to marry you. As well as, oh, but make sure you're not too loud, and make sure, you know, you're still quite nigh, as they say. Mm-hmm. And you still play the role of like the innocent kind of girl. So there's that, and then there's, you bring it into the Western kind of sphere and you're like, oh my god, no one looks like me. I know growing up, I found that I was like, oh, like when I looked at the Spice Girls, the closest one was like Posh Spice, because I was like, oh, she has dark hair, like she looks like me, yeah. But there was no one. And I think now slowly there are beginning to be people, mm-hmm. even if they aren't celebs or even if they aren't people who are in the media every single day. It's someone that, you know, you might follow on Instagram, be like, oh my god, she's having the same issue, or, you know, her hair is just like mine, or whatever it is.
Now I think it's such a good point that growing up we didn't really have role models, and I think also like growing up in the West, it was very difficult to find someone that you could relate to, you know, someone who had eyebrows as bushy as we do. Or I don't know, it could be anything, like even a certain body shape. I mean, you know, genetically we have probably are more likely to have a specific type of body shape compared to other ethnicities, and it's all of these elements that like you don't really think about when you're growing up. You know, you don't realize it's missing until it comes into your life and you're just like, oh my god, I've missed this, you know. And it's so true that we're so like we can easily access people that kind of not necessarily are on TV, but they're just kind of out there and they have a voice, and it's so easy to kind of like follow their journey and see where you can relate. And it's just nice knowing that we're all in this together, you know, we're not dealing with it alone. And for me personally, growing up, I found that, again, similar to you, you know, I looked very different to my friends. I also thought that the way I looked was, you know, not good enough. And I remember I used to wait till I was a certain age so that I could just pluck my eyebrows, and then suddenly I just look really pretty. And I remember this feeling like for a good few years, you know, just waiting until I could, you know, do something about the hair on my face. I don't know. And it was just so wrong on so many levels, because
do you not find that now you kind of question like, where did that come from? Like, why was I so like, oh, I have to I don't know, start shaving my legs, or I have to start doing my eyebrows, or like, how, we were kids, like, how does that even come up in conversation? I guess someone says it to you, then you become self-conscious, but still you're a child. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, a lot of it was also like, as I think as an Asian, you tend to be like more hairy than people from other backgrounds. And so you start thinking that, you know, people from other backgrounds are like, you start kind of almost looking up to them and being like, oh, I want to be like that. And I want to change myself to mold myself into that kind of image. And you find yourself sort of being like, I don't know, for me, it was, I didn't have permission to start like waxing or shaving my legs up until a certain point. And because of that, I tried finding like other alternatives. And I remember like, it wasn't, there's not enough, or at least when I was growing up, there was not enough conversation around it. And you know, how it's affecting me with my friendships and at school, and how I'm feeling like I'm being bullied, or I'm feeling like I'm being treated differently. So it wasn't necessarily only about the way I thought or what I thought of myself, but also the way I felt people treated me.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to parenting. A lot of this is, you know, you have to teach your children to be more open to different types of ethnicities, 100%. Different looking people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like there's so much casual racism around, and you find it sort of like affecting you day to day because you don't recognize it as racism when you're that young. And it could be like your closest friends doing it to you, and they don't mean any harm. It's just they don't know any better.
And they're just not educated on. Yeah,
absolutely. 100%. Yeah. So I think there's like a wider problem there.
How was it when you were growing up? Like, you grew up in Spain. Yeah. So, I mean, it's different from growing up in the UK.
Yeah.
But yet you also had, so you had the Spanish culture, you had like the Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like in terms of like body image and how, you know?
So I wasn't always particularly worried about my weight. I've never been someone who's like weighed myself, you know, diligently or anything like that. I have fluctuated quite a lot. So I think in terms of weight, I was slightly chubby, I think, when I was like preteen. And I was always quite unfit. Like, I used to do really bad in PE class.
We
and,
all
like,
did.
I was always picked last in like the teams. Yes, and it was a yearly thing. Like, sports day was just a humiliation day for me.
Yeah.
So in terms of the way I looked, I didn't really worry too much. But it was also because I think at the time I didn't care as well. Like, that was not a priority in my life. It was only when, you know, I hit 13 and 14, started hitting, like, hit puberty, and you started seeing your friends sort of getting boyfriends, and you were just like, oh, but, you know, I'm so confused. Like, I don't feel like I look nice enough to get the attention that I want. And you're also, like, trying to figure yourself out. Your body's changing. So I think I lived that period of time in confusion a lot of the time. I didn't know what was happening. Like, I couldn't tell if I was, you know, being treated a certain way because of my ethnicity or just because of who I was as a person, or maybe I didn't eat as well as other people. I didn't know what the issue was at the time. Yeah. And now looking back at it, I realized that there was no issue.
Yeah.
You know, it was all like, I think there just needs to be a lot more openness. And I think things have changed so much now.
Mm-hmm.
So in schools nowadays, I mean, I've not been to a school in a long time, but I think that they have different problems and they have different pressures. In terms of skin tone, yes, I struggled because I tan kind of weirdly. And having lived in a sunny country, you know, which is literally probably sunny 12 months a year, I was probably like 3 to 4 shades darker than I am now, like constantly.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, I think I used to feel a bit almost like unattractive because of my skin color. And partially it was because I didn't wear sun cream. And because it was sunny every day, I didn't really think about it. And I was like, oh, I'm Indian. I don't really need sun cream because the melanin protects me. But I think, I just probably didn't know enough about how to take care of my body. And I mean, as teenagers, you know, they all feel the same way. Like, you have acne and like BO is a bit of a problem too at the time. And it's only when people start like calling you out for it, that's when it becomes really difficult. And it's kind of unfair as well, because it's like, okay, so just because I'm Indian or just because I eat Indian food, are you going to make fun of me because apparently I smell a certain way?
Yeah.
And it's just kind of, that sort of stuff was difficult at times. And I remember I used to feel kind of ashamed about it. And I used to feel confused, like I said earlier. So I don't know if you had a different experience growing up in the UK.
So I was going to ask you, actually, did you have many Indian friends? Like, I know there's quite a big Indian community in Spain.
Yeah,
but did you go to school with many people that even, like, looked like you, really?
Mm-hmm. So I did. I had a couple of Indian friends in my class. And there were, you know, there were a few here and there. But I just don't think there was enough. And we were all sort of like the few of us that were there, we were all pretty much confused the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think we went through our individual struggles and some I found would kind of run away from their culture just to not have to face it.
Yeah.
Some of us would sort of like internalize it and I guess like try and just avoid it or try not to think about it. Other people would lash out in other ways. And so I found that, you know, I don't know what the reasons are or like how people dealt with it, but me personally, I found myself always feeling like I was different, and it goes back to not seeing enough role models out there, and even if there aren't role models, just not feeling like I was accepted enough, and it might have been just a personal thing, to be honest. Yeah. But like having moved to the UK and being surrounded by a lot more people that look like me, I suddenly felt a lot more comfortable, and I felt a lot like better off in my skin. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people, you know, didn't treat me the way that I felt like I was being treated back home. And it wasn't always bad, I think. It was just the fact that there was a lack of relatability. Mm-hmm. There. What was it like for you in the UK though?
So I can relate to a few bits that you're saying, but I think, so the school that I went to, or even like the area that I kind of live in, there's not that many Asian people, but there was enough. I remember there was three of us at the beginning of secondary school. Gosh, it must have been about 11, 12.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I finally found people that I related to that looked like me. We were all like hairy as hell. Like, but you don't, this is what I mean. Like, I'm just confused looking back, not confused, but I just feel a bit like, at what point did I start becoming so self-conscious about it? Because we were just kids. Like, maybe I was just so naive and so oblivious to it. Maybe other kids probably did take the mick and like would say things behind my back, and later on, like in, I guess towards the end of school, I realized that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, you're just so innocent, you're so just doing, you kind of just assume that you're just like everyone else, and I always did.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I did ballet. This was in primary school. I did ballet for a few months, I assume, and I was the only brown kid. And also, like, now looking back, I realized the teacher definitely treated me differently. I remember there was one incident, and you talk about casual racism, I think this is a perfect example of it. There was one incident where we were all allowed to pick a sticker, and all these, like, these stickers were of like ballerinas, and then most of them were like white cute looking ballerinas and like this pink little tutu or whatever, and there was one or two, there must have been a couple of stickers of black ballerinas.
Okay.
And so all the other kids got to pick their own, and the teacher picked mine, and I got given the black one.
Okay.
So I never really looked at my skin as different. Other people were clearly seeing it, but I wasn't.
Mm.
And then when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like, that's so unacceptable. Like, if that was to happen now, there'd be a big outrage kind of thing. I kind of went off on a tangent there. But even in terms of then growing up, so there was the three of us, and then we kind of made friends with other brown kids in our year. And then we made friends with more brown kids. And in a way, that was really nice, because now you felt like, oh, there's a group of us. Like, we all look alike. We all kind of behave the same way. We can all have, you know, our inside jokes about, like, curry and, you know, like, again,
and, like,
eyebrows.
How strict our parents are.
Exactly. 100%. But then I think that's also where the pressure must have kicked in as well. So this is around the age of like 15, 16, like you said, boyfriends and all of that is happening. Also, attention within our circle. I think maybe that's when the kind of self-consciousness kicked in, where we were all like, oh, like, now we were bonding about, like, I don't know, straightening our hair or like what we were wearing and this, that and the other.
Yeah.
So I think whilst there were people that we could, like, I could relate to, it was also pressure within itself to, like, oh, make sure that you go to school looking a certain way, or and that just takes your eye off education kind of thing.
Yeah. And on the other hand, you have your parents being like, you know, stop thinking about the way you look, like you're going to get distracted. And I think that's where like the confusion for me comes as well, is because there's so many things happening at the same time. You're just like, right, who actually am I?
Yeah.
Am I okay with myself? Clearly something's not right.
Yeah.
What is the issue? How can I fix it?
Yeah.
And at the time, it just wasn't really something you could fix. It's just something you just go through.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite interesting you saying that, that you didn't actually realize that you were different at the time until something, you know, some trigger happened, or something must have happened at
the
point. Yeah, right?
Something must have happened. I remember I was 12 turning 13, and we kind of don't do presents in our family, like gifts or anything. But I remember going down, like writing a note and being like, oh, can I please do my eyebrows for my 13th birthday?
Really?
Like, what? Like, I look back and I'm like, oh my God, you were a kid. Like, why are you worrying about your eyebrows kind of thing?
Oh my gosh. I had that with my sideburns.
Yeah.
So I used to have really like quite a thick sideburns.
You and me both.
Yeah. Like, but I remember I wasn't allowed to like wax them or anything,
yeah,
because it's weird and you're not supposed to do that to your face, apparently. Although I was told to bleach it, so I bleached it, and like really weird experience. The hair turned gold and it just looked really bad, because it was so visible. It was actually worse than it was before.
And
I remember just getting all waxed off the next day, because I was like, this, I can't live like this.
How old were you at this point?
I was about, say, probably like 15.
Yeah.
15 or 16.
So you're conscious of yourself, but you don't know how. I think that's another thing. You're not guided. Like, I felt like, yeah, mum was like, okay, fine, we'll go and do your eyebrows. Mm. Or like, okay, well, like, you can shave your legs, whatever. But I think, again, when it came to face, like even my sideburns, it was like, it took me so many years. Only like, I think when I, probably 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when I like really just knocked them off. Mm. But up until then, it's like you're waxing it, but then the rest of your face is hairy.
I know.
So it's like you can tell, and then you're like waxing it, then you're like, do I bleach the rest of my face? Oh, and you get it threaded, but then you're breaking out in like in spots and everything. Then even like I went to get it lasered, and like it was perfect. Mm. But then now the rest of my face is like growing more, because that's what laser sometimes does to you. So you're like, it's like one thing after another.
I know, the problem never ends, really.
Yeah,
is it?
And it's because there's no real guidance. Like, of course, like, our mums probably don't know how to steer this kind of conversation.
Yeah,
or
it's so
you just got to kind of figure it out. And that's why I kind of look at myself and I'm like, oh, mum, why didn't you ever guide me in this and the other? But at the same time, I'm like, how was she to know? Like, she wouldn't have done this when she was a kid or anything like that.
The problem is probably goes back a bit as well, because a lot of these concepts are taboo in our culture.
Yeah.
And because it's not talked about so openly, I find that, like, for example, our mothers, like, they do their best, you know, given what they know. And I think they're wonderful in that sense. But they probably didn't get any guidance 100%. From their mothers, right? So whatever they do for us, they think, oh, you know, they've broken the mold a little bit. And I'm sure that when we have kids, we'll break the mold even further. But I think it's just like being conscious of the fact that, like, it's not really their fault either.
No, it's not.
Nobody told them what they were supposed to do.
And they would have had it like 10 times harder. Exactly. At the same time, I do wish that I hadn't like tampered with, you know, like waxing my arms, or I don't know, threading your upper lip or even your eyebrows, because you realize how kind of amazing it is. Like, it makes you kind
just
of
just not
thing.
To have that responsibility. And also, like, if I could go back in time, like, I wouldn't do it either, because I feel like I should be accepted for the way I am.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't feel pressured to be treated a certain way only when I've, you know, I don't know, like, waxed my arms. That's really weird, and it's not fair
on
anyone, because the genetics that you have, like, you've not chosen that, right? And you should just kind of be treated the same way either way. Like, if it's, you know, if it's something you consciously want to do for yourself, great, like, do it, you know, it's your body. But no one should expect that from you.
No.
Because that's when it kind of gets a bit like, well, no one should really be telling me what I can do with my own body.
Yeah.
And it's the same with weight as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's so much pressure around, you know, oh, we have to lose weight, we have to be fit, we have to get that bikini body, have to look a certain way. And even, like, when you go to the beach and you'll see someone who's, like, very toned or something, you'll just automatically kind of attack yourself.
Yeah.
You'll just be like, oh, well, why don't I look like that?
Yeah, 100%.
Why does it have to be a comparison, you know? Their genetics are different. Like, they probably have a very different lifestyle.
Yeah.
can I even realistically try and compare myself to someone 100%. Else? Not really.
No.
And I think it also goes back to just media and like how businesses work and how they work to kind of, they use our psychology to sell products and to make us feel like we're not good enough. 100%. Like we're never good enough.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember, but there was this massive advert. I can't remember if it was Protein World, but it was something like, are you bikini body ready? And there was a massive uproar because these posters were everywhere. You know, they were in the tube. You might not even read it, but subconsciously you've consumed that information. And that has affected you, like whether you can actively feel it or not. And I just remember that it just being so, like, everyone just went mental.
Yeah,
they were you cannot do that. Like, that is the reason people have mental health issues.
Yeah.
That is the reason, you know, the rate of depression is increasing and the rate of suicide is so high.
Yeah.
Like, not the only reason, but it's definitely a big contributor.
Yeah.
So, so in terms of, like, weight, on one hand, I think there's a lot of pressure and there's all these diets and things that people are doing. I mean, I think there's a lot of conversations about improving your lifestyle and having a healthier lifestyle. And I think that's wonderful. You know, there's a lot of brands out there now that are promoting like plant-based eating or, you know, cutting out like certain foods to make you feel better. And that's great. But I feel like that might almost have like an adverse effect on people where all of a sudden there's all this pressure to like eat sweet potato and I don't know, like butternut squash and kale and quinoa and all this stuff. What if I just want to have a pizza once in a while, you know? I shouldn't feel bad about having that.
Yeah.
So
I think we're just, these things are just, they kind of fly in and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is the reason why you're not skinny. Like, have you tried this diet or have you been doing like, have, you know, try this, try that, blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of just think, we just buy into it so easily. I think what you said before about how the businesses and society kind of really work on our psychology. And I think society as a whole, just especially as women and, oh God, especially as brown women, have like really made us hate our own bodies.
Mm.
Like it's almost ingrained into us. Like you wake up first thing in the morning, look at yourself and be like, oh, I'm a bit puffy today. Or, look at my face. Like, oh, my
dark circles.
Yeah, exactly. That is the first thing that you're saying to your body. Like that's, the self-talk is so toxic. It's so harmful. But society benefits off that. It's almost like this endless cycle where they'll, you know, subconsciously or consciously put things in the media to make you really like self-loathe and hate yourself, but then sell you things that are going to make you feel like, oh, this is going to solve all my problems and blah, blah, blah. And also at the same time, use these huge influencers to endorse it. It's like Jameela Jamil was saying that the Kardashians are effectively double agents for the patriarchy. And damn right, like finally someone said it.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're behaving as though, oh, we really care about you and girl power and blah, 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 blah. But hang on, wait a second.
No.
You are not teaching self-love to girls and women that really look up to you and admire you.
Absolutely.
And I think it's become more of a problem in our generation, like in the kind of, in the past, I'd say 5 to not even 10 years kind of thing. Because I don't think it was that much of an issue. Maybe it's because the media and again, the internet and things like that have made information so accessible and news so accessible and things like that, that it's just a bit ridiculous. But but having said that, things are changing.
Yes,
I think
definitely.
Things are now, like, people are getting fed up of seeing like skinny women on like the cover of magazines
or
and
even
on
like
the tube.
Sorry to cut you off, but even women who, like you mentioned about Kim Kardashian, I remember, and I don't know if you remember the Met Gala. I don't know if you remember Kim Kardashian's dress.
How can you forget it?
But she was wearing this really, like, really, really tight dress that just kind of squeezed her stomach in.
Did you see the, so I don't ask, I don't watch anything to do with the Kardashians.
Yeah.
Just a disclaimer. but I happened to scroll through this video on YouTube. I think Vogue did a behind the scenes.
I've seen it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like of her fitting the day before. And I'm like, what? Like literally they are yanking this corset to make her body it's literally dismorphing her body or like whatever.
Yeah.
It's, and you just think,
And she makes this joke about how she's not able to sit down.
Oh my god, yeah.
Throughout
yeah.
The whole ceremony or like throughout the event.
She's like, I'll tell Anna that I can't sit down and I'm just gonna stand. I'll walk around. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Like, why are you... there's so many things wrong with that. I think like we could go on for hours.
On the back end of that, sorry, I just want to say like big props to Lily Singh. Like,
definitely.
I think, so for her, she's just been an absolute... I think idol for me, that I'm just like, she's so real and she doesn't care. Like, she doesn't care about her, like, her body. Her body's great. Mm. Like, even maybe, like, the fact that she's brown, like, her skin, whatever, doesn't matter. Like, don't give a shit. Like, this is me. So I think people like her is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Just representation and just, like, being real.
Yeah. I feel the same about Gina Rodriguez. I don't know if you know who she is. She's the main character of Jane the Virgin. And I absolutely love her to bits, and she's not skinny. Like, she's quite fit. She works out a lot and all of this. But, like, her body is, it's not what you would say is, like, the ideal, you know, image or that curvy, skinny, like, skinny waist kind of body.
Yeah.
She looks stunning. And she also, like Lily Singh, does not care what people think. And she's just owning it, being herself. Mm. And I think when you see women like that out there, you just... you feel inspired because all of a sudden you're like, well, they're out there and, you know, they're amazing.
Yeah.
And they've managed to, you know, do so well in their lives. And their careers are entirely based on the way they look.
100%.
Right? Like, as much as you, you know, obviously they do loads of stuff behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, they're in front of a camera most of the time. And back in the day, like, probably not even too long ago, it would have not been acceptable to not be skinny and be on camera and, like, be popular.
And I guess you had to be skinny to be successful. Like, that's what I've realised.
Yes.
I just had this thing where I was like, actually, you don't need to be skinny to be successful.
And I would say, like, definitely to, if, like, I know it's helped me. It really helps to look at people who don't compare yourself to people.
Yeah.
But it helps to know that there are people out there who don't fit these stereotypes and who are still killing it. And if you feel like you need inspiration, then go out and look for that inspiration because it will make you feel so much better. And I think, like, it'll just make you kind of look at yourself and think, you know what, like, if other people can own it, so can I.
Yeah.
And I really don't need to look at or become someone to please others. And I need to just learn to kind of be happy in my own skin. And that's kind of the best energy that I'll put out there for others as well.
Yeah.
And it's, at the end of the day, like, it is an energy you're putting out there. And I firmly believe that. And if you're putting all this negativity out there, that's all you're really kind of going to project to others and probably keep getting back as well.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, 100%. I was going to say something, but I forgot. But you put it so beautifully.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.